Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Marvin B. back with yet another episode of Podnuts Pro. Just finishing up the holidays here, and I have a special show for you tonight. But before we get into that, let me at least make a mention of our sponsor. If you own a business, no matter how big or small, email hackers and scammers are coming after you. AppRiver can make your company a much harder target. You don't want to be a top. They have affordable services like spam and virus filtering, email encryption, and web threat protection to help keep you safe. They also back their services with live 24/7 US-based tech support at no additional charge. Try AppRiver services free for 30 days by visiting appriver.com/podnutspro. So, I had a good holiday and a Merry New Year, and I think you're going to have one now if you haven't had it already, because, ladies and gentlemen, I have one of our very best friends back with us for a holiday special. Can you tell us who you are?
It is Matt Rainey.
Mr. Matt Rainey's in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, all. Hello, Marvin. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's probably been since the unconvention.
Yes. Yeah. So I didn't want to tease too much because you and I had talked about trying to do this holiday special before, but instead of being in the holiday spirit, you were under the holiday spirit, or members of your family were.
It was in the household. Yes. It was a rough few weeks in the household. Of course, the flu season is very bad this year. So that was around sinus infections. Strep throat was going around.
Ooh.
A lot of things going on. And it actually started Thanksgiving Day. My younger daughter, we're getting ready to go to my family's house for Thanksgiving lunch. 11 o'clock in the morning. Daughter's throwing up.
Oh.
So that was the start of it. And I think it ended probably a few days ago, off and on, somebody having something. Yeah.
Wow.
It was rough.
Yeah. My family also had that. My nephew actually got sick just before Christmas. And so we had to have a few adjustments on Christmas Day because of that. So I took a little extra precaution with the nephew.
Had him sit outside, you hand his food through the window. You eat over there.
It was funny. So, my good friend, go ahead.
Well, how was your Christmas? Was it good?
My Christmas was good. Yeah, my Christmas was good. It was actually a little less stressful than normal because usually this time of year I've got projects stacking up. Because everybody wants to spend their money before the end of the year, do the projects. This year, no projects.
See, we have a slightly different, I don't know if it's just my clients, we are usually very slow around probably after Thanksgiving through the new year. We're always steady, but we're not busy by any means, not overly busy. We have things to do.
Right. I mean, when I started out, I was slow, which was great because I would always take off, you know, from Christmas Day to New Year's. I just didn't work. And back before the wife was here, I would fly up to Ohio and freeze my butt off for a few days up there. And then when she came down here, we would go to the west coast of Florida, hang out on the clear white sand of Florida. But probably, I guess, the last 7-8 years or so, I mean, it's been project. That's usually the big server project. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to take on big projects at that time because I don't want to work that time. I just think my clients are more, if it's not working, we'll just go home and worry about it after the first. That's what my clients tend to, which is fine with me. So did you give any tech gifts for Christmas, or did you get any tech gifts for Christmas?
Let's see. I don't give tech gifts.
Because then you got to support them.
Right. And I usually don't get tech gifts because the family doesn't want to take the risk of me ridiculing them
right.
For not getting me the right tech gift.
And I'm the same way. I don't give or get. Now, this year is slightly different. My daughter wanted a MacBook Pro. And I have a MacBook Pro that I don't use. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put an SSD in that, reload the OS, give it to her for Christmas.
Oh.
Sounds pretty easy. I put the SSD drive in, couldn't load the OS. It just wouldn't load. And it's an older version. And they make it almost impossible nowadays to find the install for the new version.
Okay, so which animal is it? Because I know that there was Lion and Tiger.
Well, I think I was running Maverick on it, but I didn't have an installer for that because I just upgraded. So the only installer I had was Snow Leopard. And for some reason, when I tried to install Snow Leopard with an SSD drive, it did not like it.
Hmm.
So I actually put instead Ubuntu on it.
Oh.
Because, you know, my daughter's only 13. She's never used a Mac. She doesn't really know what the Mac OS looks like.
And she's used Linux?
She has not. She's only used Windows. But this is different. It's a Mac. So I gave her Ubuntu on it. She does not know. In fact, she asked one time, what is this word? Oh, and she pronounced it wrong. I can't pronounce it the way she pronounced it. But she, what is that? Ubuntu or something, she said. And I said, oh, don't worry about that. That's not. I've got Google Chrome on it, Firefox. That's all she does is get online. I've got LibreOffice on there in case she wants to type a paper. She's happy. It's a Mac. It's got the Apple logo on it. As far as she's concerned, she's got her MacBook Pro.
Now, does she take it out of the house?
Yes.
And so if she's sitting with her friends that also have Mac, they don't notice?
Her friends don't have Macs.
Okay. All right.
Her friends have, every friend that I've seen, they have Windows. Now, she had a friend's Christmas, you know, when she was better, because my daughter was when I was sick mostly. Her friends came over, and they play Small Worlds. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Some internet-based game. I've only heard of it because they play it.
A Walt Disney Small Worlds game?
All I know is it's Small Worlds. I just know the name of it. They do all this, and I had a spare notebook, and one of her friends didn't have a notebook. And I said, oh, you don't have a notebook? She said, no, but I can use this one, you know, that I had here. I said, you know what? You can have it. Face lit up. I can have it. It's like I gave her a car or something. It's an old notebook that I had reloaded. I was going to try and sell it for like $50. I said, yeah, just take it. She was, I never seen somebody so, 13-year-old girl, to her, it's a brand new notebook. That was nice. Yeah, so I put Ubuntu on it, and I've never been a big fan of Linux. I might have said bad things about Linux on the show previously.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But I was impressed with Ubuntu and the ease of which she can do what she needs to do. It won't get infected. I'm happy, so.
All right. And you can support it.
Yes, because I can just reload it if she screws it up. But, you know, if I go with what Obando says, it'll be fine forever.
It's
Ubuntu. It's fine.
Yeah, just run it till it dies.
So it's a good test. Solid state drive, running Ubuntu on a MacBook Pro. Runs fast. Yeah, that's good. I'm not using it for business. She can get on Small Worlds, whatever that is.
So I just looked it up. Small Worlds is a virtual world and social network service.
Social network service. Okay.
So apparently we'll all be doing that in a few years because, you know, us as adults, we're always behind the time.
But by then, they'll move on to something else.
Right. Well, yeah, they will have moved on, but we'll just be catching on to Small World because, you know, we're big on the Facebook. And I saw you on the Facebook. You made the naughty list on the Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that even means. Is that some post that somebody put that you're on the naughty? Yeah, okay, I'm on Facebook for like a minute a day.
It was to me, it looked like it was just some generic little thing that somebody took. You know how you walk into a gift shop and you're looking for a keychain or something and they have it with your name. And of course, they take all the common names they can find. You know, John, Matt, Mark, and just, you know, you're on the list.
Yeah, so this probably just grabbed a few random names from a friend list and put them on the naughty list.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just to troll you.
One reason why I don't go on Facebook that much. Although I was on Facebook a lot for the holidays because there are all these giveaways, right?
Yeah.
You like this, you post this, you win something. I didn't win anything. So after Christmas, I went and unliked all the pages I had to like in order to try and win something.
Yeah, I don't like stuff on the Facebook because I don't want to be bothered afterwards.
Well, I turn off all email notifications on Facebook. I get no notifications whatsoever, and I don't go on it. So I don't. Somebody could send me whatever, and I won't. There's zero chance I'll see it from a notification.
I do some notifications, and I do it specifically so that if somebody tags me in a photo, I can choose whether or not it shows up on my timeline.
I don't even look at my timeline.
So I always have to Uncle Marv approve all public photos of me.
I don't go very many places. Somebody tagged me in a photo, it'd probably be surprising to me.
Hmm.
So,
all right.
I guess people have been wanting to know what I've been doing.
Yes, I get asked a lot of questions. Of course, the first is, when is Matt coming back? And where is Matt?
So, I'm back for tonight. And I can tell you this. It's been a long, what I've been doing, one, with the schedule for the kids. That's the main reason I'm not around. But I can tell you a lot of my time has been taken up. I had to, about a year ago, really change my focus. And you probably saw it at the unconvention. I had to really change my focus for my health.
Mm-hmm.
As many, not even just techs, as professionals, people who are work sitting down all day, it was becoming a real problem with my health. I had to focus on my health. So it's been about 12, 13 months, 14 months that I really made the commitment, and that's going well. My doctor gives me good bill of health now. Cholesterol's good now. Blood pressure's good now. Lost about 100 pounds. So I've been focusing on that exercise, diet, and I make a point every day, every day. I don't care how tired I am, what I've had to do, I exercise. It helps relieve stress, and I'm feeling a lot better. I was getting down, no energy, as many people in the situation we're in, right? You sit on a desk all day.
Yeah.
So I had to make a change. I had started even before I stopped being able to be on the podcast. I was doing that around the podcast. I didn't not come on the podcast for that, but that's just what I've been doing. And since I have been on the podcast, I've actually been doing more because I actually got a whole home gym now, cleaned out a room that was for the kids. They're like their little living room, and made a gym. Quit my gym. I was going to a gym. Best thing I ever did was to get a home gym.
Yeah.
My gym commute is now 3 seconds, and I can work out whenever I want, as much as I want. So that's what I've been doing. Work is the same. That doesn't change. The ins and outs of everyday work. And we can cover a few stories, but mainly I had to do something with my health. My health was rapidly declining. High blood pressure, high cholesterol. It was just one thing after another.
Well, I will attest to that because I am probably at the point now where you were 12, 13 months ago because, you know, most of my life I played sport, and all through high school and even into college, you know, it was football, basketball, something. So I was always active. And for the most part of my career, I was still active. I played basketball up until 2 years, and I finally got to the point where I was done and I retired. And I always told myself, once I'm done, I'm done. Meaning, if I'm not playing basketball, I'm not working out. I'm not staying in shape. I am basically, I did that my entire life. From the time I was a little kid, I've always been in shape. And I said, you know, at some point, I'm just going to quit. And I did. And I'm now at the point where I'm not happy that I quit. I mean, I'm happy I'm not playing ball, but I'm not happy that I haven't stayed somewhat active because I've put on a few LBs, and you get a little sluggish, you get a little tired. And yes, you know, now I've got an office that instead of being at the house and not moving, I just come to the office and I don't move. I don't even go out for lunch. I'm just sitting here. I'm, you know, we're at the stage where I'm, the highlight of my year was going out and finding a more comfortable chair.
That is important. Nice chair. it's a nice thing, but it's a dangerous slope. I mean, yep. I'm mid-40s. If I didn't make a change last year, it's just going to be harder and harder and harder. And I was just not happy, always uncomfortable. I didn't like, I can tell you I was having to, you know, hey, did the dryer shrink my clothes? What'd you do to the clothes? You know, you had to get bigger clothes. There was one point, none of my clothes fit. None. I actually was wearing shorts to work, shorts and t-shirt. That's all I fit. Now, luckily for me, I don't go anywhere. I'm in my office. And I'm a partner. I can do what I want. So I literally could not fit in my clothes. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I can't keep doing this.
Right.
So that's really when I made the change. And I can tell you, I've had to replace all my clothes. And when I say all my clothes, the only thing I've not replaced is my socks. I've had to replace everything else. Everything that I wear, wedding band, shirts, pants, underwear, belt, shoes, multiple times. I can tell you I went from a 44 and now about a 31 pant size.
All right.
So, and look, I don't want to preach. It's good for your health. If you care, I just reached a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. I have to make a change. I'm not happy. I couldn't even do anything with my kids. So, and there's no way I could have coached soccer this past season, and we're about to start again. Right. You can't coach soccer when you can't even walk without getting winded. That's bad.
It is. Well, I just wanted to, you know, support you in that and, you know, be another voice for everybody listening to take care of your health. And, you know, I'm not in a situation where knock on wood, where I have to worry about anything, but I do know that I'm at that point where, you know, I've got to make sure I make the changes to stay healthy. I've got my stack of skinny jeans still sitting in my room. So that's something the wife and I have basically, you know, reasserted ourselves that we're going to use the Vitamix and juice and do all the stuff that so I can get back on track. So, all right.
One thing, it's funny you mentioned the stack of skinny jeans. I was in the attic. And we found a huge box of clothes from like 13 or 14 years ago that apparently I was saving in case I lost weight, right? It went from the closet, apparently, then it made it to the attic. And I found it in the attic. And I said, oh, look, I have a bunch of clothes I can wear now. You know what? They were all too big. I have a suit that I wore twice 15 years ago, and it's a little too big right now. But it's, I can wear it. I'm not going to buy it. I don't wear suits very often. Anyway.
I don't wear suits ever, so.
Yeah. That's one reason why I'm a computer person, because I don't want to wear a suit. So anyway, it's important, I think. I don't want to go on forever. I could talk for hours and hours about it, because people always ask me how you did it, what's the secret. And there's no secret, but it's
discipline.
Just, and it's 90% diet. If you don't have time to exercise, I'm going to say, if you don't have time to exercise, it's 90% diet.
It's the double D, discipline and diet.
So, well, I got a few funny stories for this week. If you want to, unless you got something else.
Well, let's do this. Let's do another quick update.
Okay.
Because I've been saving this because you were the only one that I've been talking to about this. And while I know that the listeners will understand and relate, I have an update on our MSP that went above and beyond.
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, I'm not going to try to use his name too much or, you know, really hound him because it didn't end well.
Uh-oh.
But basically 10 months after the arrest, and for those of you that need to go back and hear the story, I don't know the episode. You'll know it by understanding what we're talking about now. The MSP, formal charges have still not been brought against him, but apparently the case is still open. And back in, where was it? Let me find the story here. July 31st, 2017, he officially closed his business.
So they drove him out of business.
Yes. And apparently there was, towards the end of last year, he actually filed for federal bankruptcy that was filed September 27th of last year and closed officially. Well, it looks like it was a double closing. So the business closed on the 31st, but then I guess they had to finalize the bankruptcy and closed out again. But it was interesting that, well, I'm not going to speak the numbers here. Basically, the charges are still, I don't want to say pending because they haven't actually filed, but there were multiple felony arrests, and he is free on $13,555 bail.
Wow.
But I just really wanted to give the update because we had wondered what had happened to him and the business, because as a, you know, company that does manage services, I wanted to hear how the dispute was resolved based on the contract. Remember, there was the misunderstanding that some people thought it was a one-year contract, when he said it was a 3-year contract, but the company decided to go with another company because they didn't see it that way. And so he shut off services for non-payment because they didn't pay him. They paid somebody else. And that was interesting.
So I wonder how long they have to file any to go forward with this criminal proceedings.
I don't know, but it's funny because the district attorney, well, here it is. So somebody was asking the chamber about it, and the district attorney did not return messages, but confirmed that the case remains open, said that it would be improper to discuss details with potential charges pending. So it sounds like they're still pursuing this.
Yeah.
The chamber can't comment on it. The person that was, had to file bankruptcy isn't making any comments. But basically, he says that the county cannot prove the case. There is nothing to prove because I am not guilty.
I'm going to say, I think an excellent podcast per episode would be you to go up there and find this guy and talk to him.
Wow. I need a sponsor for that. it's funny. I really would like to talk to him and find out a couple of things. But, I think, too, that some other managed service providers can. Somebody's had to have run into this type of situation before. I don't know if it would have gone as far as getting arrested, but I think in terms of a customer, opting out of a contract or breaking a contract, I don't think I know anybody that's had to deal with something of this magnitude and had to deal with the court system in order to resolve it. And
right.
That's really what I'm interested in. I want to see what the precedent is going to be and how do you deal with a customer that breaks a contract? Because as a business, I need to know so that if one of my customers breaks a contract with me, I want to know what my options are. Now, I don't have as strict a contract as he did. I don't force my customers to sign 1-year, 2-year, 3-year contracts. It's always been month to month, but I just fired a customer and we're still talking about the fact that I'm going to keep doing business with them until they find another provider. And there's been no malice, no harsh words or anything like that. But I imagine it could have gone bad and they could have, screamed that I left them in a bind, but I've not cut off any of their services. I still, I have their backup. I have, control of their servers, but I'm not going to do that.
Right. So if you're going to have a contract like that, obviously one of the disputes is 1-year or a 3-year contract. If there's a written contract, it shouldn't be hard to look at the contract and see if it's a 1 or 3 year. Now, from what I remember, he's being accused of editing the contract after it was signed.
Correct. Yeah. There was a story that they had produced a contract that showed 1 year while he produced another contract that showed 3 years. So that's, the authenticity of those documents is going to be up for debate, I think.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, just thought you'd like to know that there has been at least a little bit of an update. Not great, and I feel bad for the guy, but we'll keep on top of the story until a final resolution is made.
And all the appeals.
That's right.
So look for that in about 5 or 6 years for it to be played out.
All right. So before we go into stories, let me let me do another quick commercial for our sponsor. And Matt, and I'm gonna say this in particular because this part of the sponsor talk talks about the most successful business owners I know are people who enjoy what they're doing. That's you, right?
Sure. Most of the time.
Most of the time. Well, whatever the thing is, they love it. And here's what they don't love. When they have to stop doing what makes them money to handle something that doesn't. So that's especially true when it comes to email. And that's one reason why AppRiver shines. AppRiver keeps your inbox free from spam and viruses, so you don't have to worry about all that junk cluttering up your day. If you're running your own email servers, protect them with AppRiver. And if you're tired of that headache, just sign up for Hosted Exchange or Office 365 and get your email from the cloud. Now, here again is the best part. You can call AppRiver anytime, night or day, and you'll talk to a real, live, U.S.-based company employee, somebody who's trained to take care of your issue and let you get back to doing what you love. So visit appriver.com/podnutspro and try any of their services free for 30 days. That's appriver.com/padnutspro. Thank you for being a sponsor, AppRiver. All right, so let's get to what everybody's probably been waiting. Story time with Matt.
Well, I got one question for you.
Okay.
I'm wondering how many people noticed this or how many people even affected. Did you notice the Windows 7 update issue?
Which one?
Where it just says, it's basically it says, you can't get updates right now because the service is not running. Did you notice that?
Yes and no. I noticed it, but I noticed it at one of my clients where they have an in-house tech that handles all that stuff. And they had sent me an email saying, hey, Windows isn't updating. And I told them, well, I'll just, you know, go back and reset the patches from my remote management tool. And I think that fixed some of them, but I think either she did an update pat that worked or they just started working. So I don't know if we were right at the tail end of it where it wasn't working, but.
All right. So it's not going to fix itself.
Okay.
So what the problem was, I noticed this, tell you the date. I noticed it on December 5th, which was a Tuesday. And I was just updating. I had a computer on the bench and I was just trying to run the updates on it. And I get this message. This is a clean install, actually. Getting it prepped for somebody. Windows 7. And I get the Windows 7 service can't run. Check the service to make sure the service is running. Service is running. I researched this. At the time, there wasn't much information out. But what I did find was that there was a date stamp on a file. Basically, you're allowed to run Windows Update through December 3rd. 2017. It's almost like somebody forgot to renew the update services.
Really?
So the fix at the time, the only fix I could find was to set your date and time prior. I think it was December 3rd or prior. You set your date to December 3rd or prior, reboot, Windows Update worked. Then apparently Microsoft was aware of this because it pulled down an update. And after that update, you could put it back the date and time and run Windows Update again. I saw this again today. A client brought a computer in and I go to run Windows Update, same thing. But now there's an easier fix. You can set the date and time back as one fix. Another fix is just go into Windows 7 update settings and it's going to be on what normally install automatically updates.
Right.
Set it to never update. Then go manually check updates. It's going to run. It's going to find the updates. You can do the updates, pulls down the patch that fixes this issue, then you can set it back to install automatically. I saw this a lot this past month.
So was that patch number, what was it, KB?
I didn't see the one that actually fixed it, because I was trying to see what was even causing it.
310-2810, because when she claimed that she fixed it, it was something with DNS settings that she would go in there and download this patch.
Yeah,
actually, there was
DNS.
Five of them. There was five of them.
And I remember some article saying, oh, it's a DNS issue. You can't reach the DNS. You can't reach the update servers.
Right.
But that That was again, if it was early December, you know, 4th or 5th, when it was early, people really didn't understand what was going on. I found an article of what the real reason was, and it was a date stamp on, and I forget the file, but it was a date stamp that basically said you're only entitled to run updates through December 3rd, 2017. So, and I think it is, you're getting an error, 8024.8015. Well, it had a few different things. Windows update expected an unknown error. Then it would say something like, check to make sure the service was running. And here's the article I found. It says, this error appears to be caused by the file, C, Windows, software distribution, authcabs/authcab.cab. This cab file contains an XML file called authorization.xml that has an expiration date of 12/3/2017 at 11:59:25 Pacific Standard Time. If a user tries to update Windows after this time, Windows update fails because this file is expired. So, apparently an update would have fixed this if they would have known about it sooner. But if it expired, you're out of luck. You gotta tell it never to update and then manually check updates or set the date back.
So what? Here's funny. I remember getting an email from somebody that said that all they really did was go into the software distribution folder and delete everything.
I guess.
So I wonder if deleting that cab file and then load, you know, going out, searching for updates and getting the new cab file.
Yeah, that could work.
Wonder if that did it.
But I think it's probably safer just to change the date. Or for some reason, if you set it to never update, because I saw that article, I didn't get to try it. I had seen it to set it to never update, but I'd always change the date back. So the one today, I just tried it. I said, hey, set never update. It worked. And actually, I had a client email me a screenshot. He's getting the same thing. I saw this a lot this month, and I saw it twice today, actually, one by email and one I had on my bench. So if you get that, and I'm wondering if we're not seeing it as much because if we just have our managed services running to push updates, you may not be seeing it. I've only seen it because I actually had computers on my bench that I'm telling to do updates, and I see it.
You're right.
If we're just relying on our managed services to push updates, notice because some of these clients that I saw this on actually had our update services through SolarWinds, and they weren't getting updates. When I did it manually, it would say failed. And I'm guessing since SolarWinds was pushing updates, it should have got whatever update fixed it, but it didn't.
Well, here's the question, though. When you do your SolarWinds updates, do you guys set your updates to just push everything, or do you actually go in and select which updates get approved?
It's set to push the security automatically and something else automatically. And I would think that this would be a high one that should be automatically approved. Because we have the high ones, and I forget the current setting, but we have security and something else set to automatically approve.
Yeah, I have the top two, but then everything else, I manually go in every couple of weeks and approve so that stuff doesn't get automatically pushed out.
Yeah, so I'm thinking this one should be pretty high since it's actually broken.
I'll have to go back and look at that because you're right, because most of mine are through the managed services. Or for my clients with a single server, I have WSUS.
Yeah.
Still, especially for my sites that still have a small business server on site.
I hate WSUS.
I thought you were going to say you hate small business.
I'm getting there too. But
it's almost gone.
Can't be going fast enough, actually.
Almost gone.
I had enough of it. I'm ready for straight server with hosted Exchange.
Yep.
So, anyway, that was Windows 7 update. Check a few Windows 7 computers. Just spot check a few because you might have that issue. I've seen it so much. So, anyway, that was my little Windows 7 update thing. And I actually touched base with Martin and asked if he had seen it. Actually, December 5th when I touched base with him and he was going to check. I didn't hear back from him yet. Touch base. That was one thing that was causing some problems. Now, you don't use WatchGuard. You use your Sonic Wall person.
Yeah. I've not gone to the red box.
So for those of people who use WatchGuard, we use mobile VPN a lot, a lot. For security, everybody should be using a VPN when you're doing anything for remote access. I had a client that all of a sudden they called, and they used the mobile VPN every day, the whole sales force, which is significant.
Right.
One person calls and says, hey, the mobile VPN's not connecting. And I thought, of course it's connecting. What, are you crazy? I'd have 100 calls if the VPN wasn't working. And this is, again, this is, I think, right before Christmas. Christmas was, what, a Monday? This might have been the Friday morning, because we closed Friday at noon. So it might have been the Friday morning before Christmas.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, it's working. You might have a bad setting on your computer. You know, let me just take a look.
Check your internet.
I connect to a computer. Doesn't connect. I said, you know what? I'm going to connect to your mobile VPN from my computer just to humor you, to show you that it's your computer. It's not the WatchGuard.
Most certainly not.
Same thing. When I connect to it from my computer, I'm like, okay, you know what? Even if it is doing it from my computer, let's just update. You know, I think they were on like 11.12. There's 12.1 out. I'm just going to update it real quick. I'm sure it works for everybody else because we'd be getting lots of calls if none of the salespeople can connect.
Right.
Update everything. Update the route. Update the WatchGuard. Update the latest SSL VPN client. Same thing. I'm like, okay. This is strange. Her computer, my computer. And I told her, you know what? I realized what's going on. She said, what? I said, you're the only one working at your company today. And she's the head of all the salespeople. I said, none of your salespeople are working. She said, what do you mean? I said, this isn't working for anybody. Are your people supposed to be working today? She said, well, yeah. I said, well, none of them are. Or at least none of them are connecting to the VPN, because this is broken for everybody. She didn't like that. She had proof that none of her salespeople were able to work, and not one of them called. This is what happens usually with my clients for Christmas. If it's broken, they don't care. They want to go home and celebrate the holidays. So she was not very happy that no one else called. And in the end, you know how when somebody on their computer, let's say they go to a website and it says, certificate's not valid.
Right.
What do you tell them? Check a date and time. Date and the time on the WatchGuard got set to like 2001.
So
the
really?
I don't know how. And I opened the case at WatchGuard support, and WatchGuard support, they've never seen it. Never seen it. They baffled them. They took all kind of log files and they sent it up to higher up. They've never seen this. They don't know how it got set that way. They don't know why. But the WatchGuard time and date was whatever time it was, 2001.
So this was a WatchGuard that had been working for how long previous to that?
Since it's been put in service, a year, 2 years.
And just on a whim.
And she said she connected yesterday, the day before. No changes were made between when, because of course we document every ticket. We hadn't touched the WatchGuard in a month or two. Nothing changed. But the date and time got set back to 2001. And so since the certificate was not valid, it just would cycle through, wouldn't connect. Very strange.
So has WatchGuard found a cause for this? Or is that going to be in one of their cold case files?
That'll be in some kind of bug update that they won't let anybody know what the update does.
Right.
But they said they've never seen it. And normally, I'm going to tell you this, for people who use WatchGuard, normally the VPN client just doesn't connect. You got to go into Internet Options, go to Advanced, and uncheck. I think it's use TLS-1 and use TLS-2. Uncheck those.
Right.
And then it works. But in this case, same thing, same exact thing happening, but date and time on the router, on the watch. So something else to check for people who use WatchGuard. If your VPNs won't connect, check the date and time.
I've had that happen on copiers. Where
really?
The date and time on the copier was off by... It wasn't off by that much. It was off by like a year. And for some reason they were, I remember because it was one of my junior boys who, you know, I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks, was trying to work on it, you know, kept thinking it was something with the firewall, something with the DNS setting.
And what was it? It wouldn't scan or what wouldn't it do?
It wouldn't scan.
Okay. So couldn't scan to a file or?
Correct. They used the scan to email feature. scanned a folder, but, you know, they could, of course, everybody could print to it, but they just couldn't scan to it. And, you know, he was just absolutely sure it had something to do with the firework.
That's what they all go back to.
Yes. And of course, they have two other copies that are scanning just fine.
Right. And if it's scanning to a folder, to a file, that's not going through your router.
Mm-hmm.
That's internal.
So I had to say, well, if it was the firewall, then the other two wouldn't be working.
Yeah. I love when they say stuff like that, it's the firewall or it's DNS. Like, okay. That's like the Windows update. If you don't know what it is, it's DNS, which I'm going to say is true a lot. If you don't know what it is, always check DNS.
Right. I mean, it's on the list, but it's usually not at the top of the list.
It reminds me of a tech I used to have working for me a long time ago, and I might have shared this a long time ago on Podnuts Pro. Every computer he got, it did not matter what the issue was, he changed the CMOS battery.
I'm
He had a whole bag of CMOS batteries. You name an issue, he changed CMOS battery. Doesn't matter what the issue was. The first thing he does is change the CMOS. Brand new computers. And I asked him, where are you getting these CMOS batteries from? We don't order these. We're not stocking these. Where do you get them? He said, well, if we get rid of a computer or throw a computer away, I take the CMOS battery. I said, okay, so in this instance, this is a new computer. You tell me this battery could be from a computer from about 7 or 8 years old, and you're going to put that battery in? I asked him, first of all, why do you think the CMOS battery needs to be replaced? You know what he said? It's a good answer.
Okay, look, before you answer, and when you say for every problem, so are we talking about every motherboard-related problem?
No, computer's running slow.
Oh, well, then it must be the CMOS.
I'm getting an error in Word.
Okay, all right.
It doesn't matter what the, I'm getting the pop-up in Internet Explorer. It doesn't matter what the problem was. His first step in his troubleshooting was always change the CMOS battery.
Okay, so again, before you answer, there must have been a time where that fix worked.
You're on the right track.
Or else why would he have kept doing it? Okay,
right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and tell me.
Okay.
Because right now, I can't think of a reason why that would be. I could probably count on one hand in 21 years how many times I've changed a CMOS.
The same thing I told him. I said, I've been doing this for so many years. I said, do you know how many times I've had to change a CMOS battery? I said, like twice. And I said, do you even know what the CMOS battery does? He didn't really know. I said, if you have a bad CMOS battery, when you boot up, you're going to get a message that the date and time needs to be set. Might lose your boot order back then in the days, you know?
Yep. 1180, you know?
I said, this does a specific thing.
It does one
right,
thing.
Right. I said, so why do you, I have to know. And I didn't know he was doing this for a while. I mean, it's like I watch every job he did. And one day I saw him doing it. And anyway, he says, in the tech school that he went to, whatever little community college tech school, you know, people go to, that they think is a good
thing.
Yeah,
I've heard of those places, yeah.
Yeah. All they do is teach you how to pass the A-plus test, especially back then. They taught you how to take the A-plus test so you can get a job.
And how to build a computer, which you got to keep at the end of the year.
Right. He said his instructor told him that the single most overlooked root cause of all computer problems is the CMOS battery.
Really?
Yeah.
The number one most overlooked.
Yeah.
So that beats out, have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yeah. Back in the days with IDE cables, bad IDE cable, you know, everything. Yeah. Bad capacitors, the number one. So he learned his lesson. He is not going to overlook that simple fix. He changed the CMOS battery every computer he touched.
So did your purchasing department not ever say, why are we getting purchase orders for CMOS batteries?
What's the thing? He must have had his own stash, because we didn't buy him. He had a whole bag of CMOS batteries.
Well, because he was taking them out of old systems.
Right.
So here's my question. If he took a CMOS battery out of a new system, did that go into his stash? Or did
yes.
that get...
Everyone he kept, he's never, as far as I know, he's never had a bad one. Even if he replaced it, that would go back in his bag, which means it's like reaching through a bag of M&Ms. He might grab that one next and put it into the next computer.
Okay.
So, one of the most overlooked root causes of any computer issue, CMOS battery. Remember that.
How can I forget now?
Yeah?
Now, every time I see a CMOS battery.
You're going to want to change it?
How big was his bag? That's my other question. Was it like a sack?
It wasn't like a sack, like Santa sack or anything, but it was a good, you know, what, 6 inches?
Like a sandwich bag?
Okay,
full?
almost like those bags of screws you got in with old motherboards.
Okay.
You know, it might have been.
That's not too bad.
It might have been like 6 inches tall and, you know, 2 inches wide. But that can hold a lot of CMOS batteries.
About as big as this bag here that holds.
Yeah, smaller than that.
Okay.
I mean, it would fit in your hand, but he had a whole bag of it, and the bag was full. If I had to guess, he probably had 50 to 75 batteries in his little bag. And when we let him go, we actually moved offices after that. We got our own building. So we were having to move everything. And I came across his stash of CMOS batteries.
Oh.
And I told him, he didn't take it with him. I guess he figured it was our property. He built a new stash.
Did he call you back and say, hey, I left something?
So, of course, I told the story to the people that were there, and then I just threw the whole bag away. Because why do I need them?
So, here's the only other time I've purchased CMOS batteries for the business. One, I also purchased a pack of 5 last year, 2017, in the summer, because our remote used the same CR2032. And I remember when I got the bag, when I got the package and opened them up, and the wife's like, what kind of batteries are those? And I told her, and I said, yes, these are in the computers. And I had to show her that it was the same battery as the computer. And she's like, well, why didn't you just take them from the store instead of buying? I'm like, okay, this pack of 5 cost me like $3.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever bought a CMOS battery, ever. I think with the couple times that I encountered bad ones, I just took it from another computer.
Right. I mean, I here's the thing. I understand taking them from a board before you throw it out because, I mean, why buy those things when you can just, you know, pull them and stack them?
They last forever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that every single one in his bag was good.
Of course.
I just didn't need that many CMOS batteries.
Interesting.
I told him, you know, these things probably last 10 or 15 years. Why do you think one that is in a 2-month-old computer is bad? Just wanted to check it out. I don't want to rule it out.
You know what? Fool me once.
Oh, boy. That was funny when he told me that. I said, okay, we have to have a little lesson here. I don't care what your tech school told you. It's not what's going on. You know, we also had, I don't know how often you have to do this. We got a call. It's also on that Friday before Christmas. No, let me go back further. The week of Thanksgiving, we got a call from a new client. They have a main building, and they've got another shop connected with a fiber line.
Okay.
Got a call from them. Hey, the back shop's not connected. We think the fiber line is out. One of my partners does fiber line repair. Got the whole little kit. Goes out there and finds that, yeah, the fiber line was actually cut. It looked like it had been chewed through. Now, the people there just said, oh, that's strange, you know, like they unheard of. So he repairs it. They call back the Friday before Christmas break. Fiber lines. He goes out there again. He said, this looks like it's chewed through again. Yeah, well, you know, we kind of have a rat problem.
Kind of.
There apparently are rats everywhere, and they, for some reason, like fiber lines. Now, there's other lines in this and most of it's in conduit, but there's a couple of places where it's not. And there's other lines in that conduit with the fiber. Only one chewed through is the fiber.
Interesting.
And in fact, it was chewed through, and it was like they pulled it out. Like they were trying to drag it away. I guess save some for later, for the holidays. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Fiber's good for you.
So it chewed through it and tried to drag it away. He goes out and repairs it. Called back Friday before New Year's. Fiber's out again. Kidding me? Chewed through again. He finally told him, look, I can't keep coming out here and repairing this. You got to put the rest of this in conduit. Then they're telling him stories about how there's not only a rat problem, they have a raccoon problem. And it's a big warehouse with these big, huge hydraulic cranes that go across the ceiling to move stuff. Raccoons get to the top and chew through the hydraulic lines of the crane.
What place is this? I mean, listen, I know about raccoons. They swim in my pool.
I don't know, they had a raccoon pool program going on.
So, wow. Did he offer to leave extra fiber?
Well, the first time we did it,
someplace else just to, you know, maybe distract the rat?
We should do that. Just put a line over here. It's easy to get to.
Right.
But luckily, when he repaired it, he left, I think, 100-foot repair margin on one side and 50-foot repair margin on the other side. So we have plenty of room to repair it. But
right,
I was amazed. Three times in like 6 weeks that they've called because the rats have chewed through their fiber and just the fiber line.
That's insane.
It's an elbow, right, where the conduit comes together is an elbow, and a little bit of fiber sticking out through the elbow, and that's what they chewed on and pulled it out. So it's all pulled out from the elbow.
So they need a 90-degree.
Yeah,
coupler.
They could probably duct tape to keep it out, but that was crazy.
I don't know. That might go through the duct tape. He knows it's there.
Yeah. I'm going to have to recommend that we leave some fiber line somewhere else as a distraction. It's just loose fiber line.
Yeah. I mean, just once a month, go out and dump, you know, a few feet of fiber line out there, because that's got to be cheaper than calling the guy back.
We could probably just put some rat poison on that fiber line.
Now you're just being silly.
And leave the fiber line around. It's just like, it's like better than cheese, apparently. Hey, did you see they repaired the fiber line? It's fresh. Let's go get it.
That's right.
But that's just, I find that crazy that they only chew through the fiber line. Because there's other Ethernet cable going in there that's connecting inside the shop. They don't chew that at all. That's maybe the rubber coating.
That would be breaking and entering then. it's a smart rat here.
I wonder what he's doing with that stuff. Maybe he's trying to build a nest and he likes high-speed fiber?
Could be. That's probably why he was trying to pull it out.
He might have a nice little setup in his little rat hole with fiber lines connecting this and that. He might be terminated somewhere.
That's what you need. You need a GoPro camera out there to, you know, follow him and then, you know, once it gets out of range, move the camera to that spot so you can kind of start tracking.
Yeah. Every day we're like, are they going to call again? Are they going to call again? Because, look, of course, when they call, they want out there now. It's a big deal. The whole shop is down. All the machines are out there. They can't run any machines. So you would think, since it's a priority, they would take more precautions.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's not like fiber line is cheap.
I wouldn't find it that tasty either.
Interesting. So we're coming up on the mark when you wanted to end the show, and I made a note of that.
These shows go by very fast.
They do.
Say that.
But I have one question that has been asked a lot, and just so you know, it wasn't like I, you know, put a notice out on the Twitter saying what would be the one number one question that you would like for me to ask Mr. Rainey when he's back on the air. But when I do talk to people, they all want to know, has Matt used his fluke yet? And of course, my first thought is, I bet you he doesn't even know where it is.
Okay, see, that's not true, because I saw it on the shelf today.
You saw it? Okay.
At least the bag. I didn't look in the bag. So I can say I have not used it.
Okay, have your techs used it? Because that was one of the things I advised you, was to at least have them use it.
And I think it was on the shelf because a tech used it, and that's where he put it back. And they're going on a job tomorrow, in which I think they will.
All right.
It's getting some use when we need it. And I know we could utilize it way more, but it's an underutilized piece of equipment.
Well,
have you used yours recently? I see your bag right there.
Actually, that's the old one. My other one is over here.
The bag looks similar. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I carry it with me. I've not used it. It's had a slow couple of months. I used it for, I'm sure you heard my last Comcast story.
I did.
And so I had to use it then. I've used it for another Wi-Fi audit, which was great.
And that's where I'd like to use it more, is doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. It is fantastic for that. And then actually, the last use I did was simply to go on site and I did a inventory discovery. Basically, the customer wanted me to come out and give them a quote for something. And it was something where I'm like, well, how many of this do you have? And I don't know. And I don't know. I don't know what's on the network. So I said, well, let me plug this in and let's just, you know, do a quick inventory. So I got, you know, I told you one of the great things about the OneTouch is that it will create a PDF report for you of everything it finds on the network. And for the most part, it will identify servers, desktops, printers, you know, firewalls. And then I basically pull that report and here's what you have. And I did my quote for services based off of that.
Nice.
And took about 10 minutes to let it go through and, you know, find everything. And at the end of it, I just hit report, send to the cloud, and I've got a PDF, full PDF report.
Yeah, I need to have my techs use it more. Another thing I need to have my techs use more is I signed up for the Malwarebytes TechBench
thing, right? Yes. Uh-huh.
And I use it. I just don't know how much my techs use it. I need to remind them to use that. And it is a good tool. I use it. I'm not sure how much they use it. It's probably not in their normal workflow. I need to get them, remind them to use it. Another tool.
I'll tell you this. That should be probably, regardless of what they're doing, just the first thing they do. Stick it in, run it.
So, okay, let me get this straight. So the first thing we'll do is change the CMOS. And the second thing we'll do is,
The TechBench. The second thing is run the Malwarebytes TechBench. Okay. Sorry.
Can the TechBench toolkit check if your CMOS battery is bad, or should I just go ahead and change it?
Well, you know what's funny is, well, if you change the CMOS battery before, then you will get, let's see, because, you know, it does give you a battery report in the Malwarebytes toolkit. So,
but that's probably like a notebook battery, right?
It's more for notebook batteries.
That's a feature request.
So let me talk to them next time, and I'll ask them about that if they can find a way to test the CMOS battery and save this tech.
Tell them that it's the number one most overlooked root cause of issues.
Hang on. Number one most. Yeah. So how long have you been using the tool set?
Probably about a month. Okay. Month or so.
You know, and I've talked to them, and they've got a whole bunch of updates that they're going to do and stuff, but I love it. It is very fast. I've used it a couple of times where the hard drive was bad and some of the other tools did not report the hard drive as bad. So I think that that's a really big thing. And then the issue scanner, just in general. I don't use the whole tool set yet, but, you know, for those quick things, usually in under 5 minutes total, I'm able to diagnose a lot of stuff.
And one thing that I tell my techs when they were using normal Malwarebytes, it's a trial, right? And if they don't want to buy it, I would tell them, very least, make sure it doesn't start up in Windows. Because it's going to pop up asking to buy it. We're going to get a call. What is this? Do I need to pay for it? But they would always forget. I said, Betty, if they don't want to buy it, just uninstall it. Because I don't want to have another ticket generated because they got this Malwarebytes pop up and they don't know what it is.
Right.
So I like that it's a portable version. It's not going to pop up again later on. They want to buy it. I can load it, but I like the portable version because we get a lot of calls. What's this popping up? I'm like, and I see the ticket come through. I'm like, okay, who didn't uninstall it? Who didn't set it? Now we're getting the ticket that we got to deal with.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Alex and Mike, another satisfied customer of the Malwarebytes tools. Love it.
So, I know it's getting late, but I do want to mention one more thing. Just a quick story. How often does this happen to you where you get a call from a client and they want to fire the top guy? The top guy.
I don't think I've ever had that.
We've had it a few times. I've had
it where they've wanted to fire a partner, you know, where there's, you know, two at the top and one wanted to get rid of the other. I've had that happen, but never, you know, the top.
Well, I'll say the top, meaning the person who runs it. I mean, there's the owner, but below the owner, it's this person. And the owner has, in this business, the owner is not even working the business. He just owns
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So I've had that. So in a sense of a law firm, you know, underneath the managing partner is the firm administrator. Yes, I've had to get rid of the number two in command in that sense.
So in this sense, it was the number one because we didn't even know who the owner was. We've only dealt with this person. The owner has no, he doesn't work the business at all. He just owns it.
Okay.
So they wanted to let go the top guy, the guy that we didn't, we know he didn't own it, but he's the one we've been working with for years. The only person authorized to let him go is the owner.
Okay.
We got a call from the owner saying, I'm the owner, blah, blah, blah. Proved he was the owner. I want to let this person go. He had to fly in from out of state. He wanted to let him go because he's the only one that can let him go. He had to fly in from out of state. He had the police there.
Oh.
Now, this is a story of where you shouldn't let anyone have personal stuff. He had a personal computer that he had been using. No local account. It was a Mac. Local account. Personal account set up on there. Logging in with his personal iCloud account. Right? And they wanted to know, what can we do? We want to, this, we actually bought the computer, but he's been using it for so long. He thinks, you know, he knows it's not his, but we bought, it's ours. We want the files. We want that computer back.
Right.
So they made, he had his computer at this meeting. Anyway, in the end, this is the short part. He left the computer, but he used Find My Mac to lock it out. So, you know, when you have two-factor, it's going to pop up for a code. That code's in your whatever other device.
Yep.
So we couldn't get into it.
Wow.
Now, we could, if we would have had him right there, unlink it from Find My Mac, he wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
They didn't, so they missed it. So here's the thing. The guy said, I will unlock it, but I want, and he named one of my techs that he works with a lot, I want him to bring me the notebook. I will unlock it, and I need to delete some personal, sensitive pictures on the computer. So apparently, he's got some naughty pictures of himself.
Some Jared stuff on there.
On his computer. And he does not want to unlock it unless he can delete those files. So they reached an agreement. My tech will go out there. He'll unlock it. My tech will verify that he only deletes the naughty pictures and then gives the computer back. Oh, that was pretty funny.
Wow.
Locking the computer because he doesn't want people to see. I said, hey, when you go out there and it deletes those files, say, hey, you want me to delete my copies too? Because it's not encrypted.
Wow.
Not encrypted. We can remove the hard drive and attach it to my Mac, and I can read it, but they prefer to unlock it to actually work on it, because I can get the files.
And I assume at that point, too, they also disconnected all of his personal accounts so that
he couldn't
lock it again after he left.
They did that while he was there, because we got in remote. We got in. My tech was at that meeting. He was on site when they were having the meeting to let him go. And that's when he was resetting passwords and locking accounts. And he was supposed to protect this notebook, which he missed to Find My Mac. But yeah. Anyway, beware of the personal naughty pictures on computers.
Well, I had something similar with one of my medical offices that we sort of manage their IT as it relates to HIPAA, but they haven't yet signed the business associate agreement, and we haven't, you know, it's one of those types of deals. But yet we are putting, you know, our managed services stuff on their iPads that they use, and nobody's allowed to use their phone or personal device for email unless we can put our management mobile device software on there. So a doctor came in as a partner in the firm, in the practice, and wanted to use his own personal stuff and called me and was like, okay, I need you to do this. And I said, well, I can't do that unless you let us put our software on there. And he goes, well, it's my personal device. And I said, I understand that, but I can't put company information on there unless we can manage the device. So we had a whole week long argument that I told him, I said, you need to go to the other doctor. And when the other doctor tells me what I can't do, we'll go from there. So basically, we put the management software on. Well, he left, and one of the stipulations was that I had to be the one to get his personal device and make sure that there was no company information on it. So apparently the situation was bad to where we, of course, locked him out of the network and all of that. And I could obviously disable his, you know, email and all of his stuff, but they wanted to make sure it was completely, you know, he didn't have any, you know, client photos on there, patient information. He wouldn't go back to the office. So he actually came to my office in order to do this. But the funny thing is while I'm sitting here making sure that all the information is being deleted, my first thought was, okay, this guy's had his own device for how long? He could have just copied it
right
to a USB or whatever. But
what's to stop him from doing a backup, then bringing you the phone, and then just restoring it?
Right. So that is a discussion that is on our 2018 initiatives for this company, that we don't allow personal devices to be able to be used for any patient information. Now, we're probably going to allow phones to have email, but only if they do the secure email, because that way anything sent will not be able to be stored in their personal device. But even still, once they open up the secure mail, they can, you know, download attachments or pictures or whatever. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting discussion.
I'm a fan of getting an employee to sign something that says, if you leave, your device will be wiped automatically, and just send the remote wipe to the device and let them reset it back up.
That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to tell them, look, we'll put it on there, but as soon as they tell me you're separated, whether that's your choice or their choice, we need to be able to wipe the device.
Yeah.
And of
that's
course,
what I was
like,
saying. I would love
my
to
personal
that.
Stuff's on there. Well, then you need don't to find a way it. To back up.
Don't mix personal and business.
Right. Get one for business, or you find a way to back up your personal stuff.
I was talking to a client the other day. He created his own personal Office 365 account using his company email address.
Oh, have that happen all the time.
I said, so wait, does the company own this? No, I own it. I said, but if you leave the company, you tied it to your work email address. What if you don't have this work email address anymore? He's like, oh, I don't know. I said, well, you shouldn't tie personal things to your work address. But people do it all the time.
Yep.
I said, well, I hope you work here forever, because you can lose your subscription.
Just had a not-for-profit where the chaplain left the company, and he left like back in June. And so we deactivated his account, Office 365. So it was, you know, 30 days it deleted. And then probably around October is when I finally get around to saying, hey, this person's gone. Can we go ahead and, you know, delete everything? Yes, delete it. Boom, 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 boom. So right before Thanksgiving, I get a call and they say, so we need to reactivate the chaplain's email because he can't get into his Facebook.
Sounds like he needs a new Facebook account.
So I've had to do that. And it's amazing how many people do that. I have law firms all the time where obviously attorneys will just set up stuff using their work email.
Yeah.
And I had to personally, it was odd. I had to send warnings that were specific for the law firm, because one of the attorneys, it was an intern who had set up, because we don't allow interns or staff to use their phones for email, only interns. So the intern basically set up a forwarder inside their Outlook to forward all incoming mail to their personal email account.
Nice.
And some attorney finally had to email support and say, why am I getting email back from this person's Gmail account when I emailed their work account? And that prompted us to log in.
So why were they even, if he was smart, he would just get it for notifications and then go back to his other account to reply.
Right.
He's just replying from the Gmail.
He replied from the Gmail. So he's gone now.
Oh, boy. All right. Well.
All right, my friend. Well, we're going to have to figure out a way to do this again, because, you know, the big movie's out that I need to go see.
Yeah, well, you need to see it. I mean, you need to see it.
I do. And then we'll come back and have a show on that.
You know, the Han Solo movie is coming out in May. Or
what?
March. The Han Solo movie?
Is it March? He's dead.
May? Yeah, it's the backstory. Oh,
another one of those.
I have high hope for this one. It's about how I'm guessing his time as a smuggler. He's going to talk about, maybe they'll show the Kessel Run, how
What's
he
that?
Kessel Run.
Was Okay, is this pre-Chewy time?
No, no.
Was he with Chewy before?
Well, they might show how he hooked up with Chewy.
Oh, okay. Really? May?
Yeah, so they talk about how Han Solo claimed the Millennium Falcon made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs, and they might show how he got the Millennium Falcon, you know, his time as a smuggler, how he met Chewie, how he lost the Millennium Falcon to Lando. They have a lot of good things that they could, so we'll see. That's supposed to come out.
Wait a minute. Why is Christian Bale? Christian Bale confirms he was in talks for... Is he Han Solo?
No, not Han Solo. And I've heard that the person who is Han Solo, Alden something, is a terrible actor. So we'll see.
Oh, look. Solo, A Star Wars Story. Okay.
May 25th.
Directed by Ron Howard. Well, then it must be good.
We'll see.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Alden Ehrenreich. What?
I'm not going to try and pronounce that.
So he's not American. Oh, I guess he is. He was born in Los Angeles, also known for Hail Caesar.
I have high hopes for it. It could be a good story. We'll see.
All right. Okay, so we shall look forward to that. As said by General Chang, Star Wars, The Undiscovered.
Very nice, yeah.
All right, well, Matt, it was good catching up. I'm finally glad that we were able to do it. It's been in the works for a while. I hope that everyone enjoys your return, and I'm sure that they will wait anxiously for the next return.
Yeah, we don't want to do too much. Some people might not miss me with all the good shows you're putting out. So
those are just fillers. That's just, you know, I just do something to keep the show active until you come back.
No.
All right, my friend. Well, let's go ahead and sign off here. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pod Nuts Pro. Email me to tell me what you thought and to send out best wishes to Mr. Rainey. And we will keep updating you with some great stories and tips. And I will get back to bringing you interviews with vendors and other techs, all about finding things to help us run our businesses smarter, better, and faster. And of course, reach out to our sponsor, AppRiver. Go check out some of the services they offer. If you're doing Office 365, utilize them and their support team. They are fantastic. All right. And once you've done that, also be sure to head over to PodNuts Pro and listen to some of the other great shows that we have over there. The PodNuts Daily, Computer Repair Podcast, Android App Addicts, all the great shows there. Visit the sponsors and affiliates on there. Support the PodNuts Network. And on behalf of my good friend, Mr. Matthew Rainey, Matt, thank you very much for being here. And folks, with that, I bid you adieu. And until next time, holla.
Hey, this is Martin Abando from Geeksters on the PodNuts Network. Thank you so much for listening to the show right now and supporting the PodNuts Network. We can't do it without you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, something that tickles your fancy you want to ask us about, you can reach out to us at geeksters@podnuts.com. You can always listen to us. We're going to be here all the time trying to figure out what's going on with the world of computers. Hey, don't forget to be grown out there. Thanks, guys.